Well, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning? You doing good? I know a lot of you are pretty confused right now. You're like, this is the first time I've ever been to Bridge City Church, and there wasn't a video in between worship and Pastor Nick getting up on stage. We want to trick your muscles a little bit this morning. So listen, it's an honor and a privilege, and I'm humbled to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. We're kicking off a new series today, and it's all about biblical stewardship. We're going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, and it's a topic that sometimes can make people really uncomfortable in church. Because money is a part of that, and it's something that we're not going to shy away from, and it's something that Jesus never shied away from. But before I get into today's teaching, I want to ask how excited you were on Wednesday when you didn't get 7,000 text messages, okay, and phone calls on Thursday and Friday. I had a couple friends that actually posted on Wednesday in the middle of the night. They're like, I'm about to text some people like, hey, you up? Like, text those numbers back. Start calling them. Okay, what are you doing? Miss you. Yeah. So maybe go back through the last few weeks and just start texting those numbers back. See if they answer. Because some of them are interns. I guarantee you. Some of them just set up some Google accounts and they'll get texts back. So have fun with it. But listen, I woke up on Wednesday morning. I woke up throughout Wednesday night, all throughout, and was, you know, looking at things and watching things. And when I finally woke up on Wednesday morning, one thing was still the exact same that it was on Tuesday morning and on Thursday morning and Friday morning. Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. And that was going to be the same whether or not Kamala Harris won or Donald Trump won. And we had a great conversation on Wednesday night at our connection group, which is a group of men. So when I say, sons of God, that's just because it was a connection group full of men, okay? The conversation was phenomenal. And there were people on both sides with different perspectives. But we ended our conversation on Wednesday evening all united around three simple things. Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. The tomb is still empty. And we get to walk in the power knowing that. The third thing, Jesus is coming back for his church. And because it was a men's group on Wednesday night, we said we all need to be prepared and live our lives accordingly because we don't know when. Jesus didn't know when. So, as the church, we're going to agree that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us and for our sins and for everybody outside of these walls. Number two, the tomb is still empty and we get to celebrate that and walk in the power of that every single day, not just on Easter, okay? Number three, he's coming back for his church, his bride, and we get to live our life accordingly. We get to live our life accordingly, honoring him, bringing glory and honor to his name in every single way, prepared. So I'm going to challenge you. Are you prepared for that? Are you living your life according to that? Are you worshiping him in a way that if he walked into the room, you wouldn't be like, oh, whoa, Jesus is here. Let's get ready. Or if today was the last time you got to worship him on earth, you'd walk before him and say, God, were you there today when we were worshiping? Or would you walk in like, oh man, I kind of mailed it in. I didn't give my all. We need to live our life prepared for him in every single way. If this morning was your last time getting to pray, it was your last devotion time, and God was like, hey, kind of just mailed it in. Are you living your life preparing, or are you living your life just sliding through? It doesn't matter who you woke up to on Wednesday morning. It does matter that Jesus was still on the throne. And that's my stance. And Matt Klingon Smith's an elder. He gave me the thumbs up this morning. Let's pray. Father God, have your way this morning. God, help us to all lean in to your word and help us to not just be hearers of it, but doers of it, Lord. God, I thank you for what you've done already this morning and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So our prayer for today is that we would all understand the word stewardship and what it means. And Jim Poston was up here and he shared three simple words. And we didn't get to talk prior to him sharing at the first worship experience. We didn't talk about today's message. I didn't tell him what I was teaching on, but he shared something that they were givers of when they were in Asheville, and that is their time, their talent, and their treasure. The three T's. This is what we get to be stewards of in every area of our life. We get to be stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And our goal today and next week is we would understand how to steward those things well and to change our mindset in regards to stewardship. We hear the word stewardship, and sometimes our view can already be set. We already think about how we're going to manage things. And it's not an either or an or. I'm going to be really good at stewarding my time. I'm going to be really good at stewarding my talent. I don't really want to talk about my treasure. I'm going to be really good at stewarding my treasure, and I'm going to be really good at stewarding my talent, but don't talk to me about my time. It's not an all-you-could-eat buffet, and you get to pick and choose what you like and what you want to let God talk to you about. It's all or nothing. He is Lord of all in your life, or he's Lord of nothing. He gets to manage all of it, or he doesn't get to manage any of it. We'll talk about that a little bit later when I get to some verses, but let's go ahead and jump into one of our texts this morning, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light all the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. To be a steward, we are a household manager, a guardian. Now, that word manager, it helps us to understand that we're managing the affairs of another. So this is where we start to understand and tackle the mindset of stewardship, how we're to develop a biblical mindset of stewardship. If we're managing the affairs of someone else as a steward, what does that mean? It means that everything comes from God. Everything. It means that we are managers. We don't own anything. Nothing. You're like, I know that's right, Pastor. I don't own a thing. No. Listen, you own stuff. I know you have stuff, but it's from God. We will give an account to God for everything that he has blessed us with. Let me give you an example. Lennon is not mine nor Rachel's. He is a blessing from God that we have been giving the blessing to be able to be his parents. Okay? I remember years ago, I was at a church picnic, and I was washing my car beforehand because it got egged in front of my house. And Rachel was like, just let it be. I was like, babe, if this bakes on the car, it's ruined. And I pulled in front of the church picnic later, and I was still getting some egg out of the thing. And one of the men who's very important in my life saw me doing it, and Rachel was getting out of the car, and he looked at her, and he could see that she was a little frustrated that I was still getting egg out of the seam of my window. And he looked and he said, Rachel, he's just being a good steward of what God has given him. And I was like, yeah, Rachel. Just being a good steward. Listen to that guy. But stewardship, and it encounters everything in your life. It encounters your marriage. Are you being a good steward? I'm not called to make Rachel happy. I'm called to make her holy, and I fail at that. Not all the time, but sometimes. Am I going to give her back to God better than he gave her to me? I'm a steward of my marriage. Rachel has to remind me of that sometimes, and I got receipts for that. I may or may not have got a receipt yesterday in the form of a text message. I'm just being honest and vulnerable with you. She needed to remind me who I am. We are called, and we will give an account. Stewardship defines the relationship we have with the Father as the owner and a Lord, as Lord of our lives. Lord means boss. What he says goes. We're managing all of his affairs, and he is going to ask how we did one day when we stand before him. I'm going to take it another level. I'm not just going to give an account for my marriage. I'm not just going to give an account for how I did as a father. I'm going to give an account for you all. Really? Yeah. That's a weight I carry. And it's a heavy weight. I lose sleep over that. It's a joyful weight. But I'm going to give an account for you all. I'm going to give an account for some of your marriages. Did I prepare you? Did Rachel and I prepare you before you stood before God and made a covenant of marriage? That's an account that I'm going to give. You're going to give an account for your talent, your time, and your treasure. Let's unpack this, your talents. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Romans 12, 6 through 8, in his grace, remember, grace didn't just enable you to get out of something. Grace enabled you to do something. Grace wasn't just a gift to get you out. Grace was a gift to get you free so you could. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I always like to sum it up this way. The church is like a giant toolbox, and you guys are a bunch of tools. Take that as you will. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Time, Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Life is short and you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised this afternoon. Listen, this week brought so much clarity to me about the brevity of life. Live every day like you, leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field. With every person you come in contact with every single moment, leave it all on the field. James 4:14, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. Lastly, your treasure. Luke 16:11, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, how will he entrust you with true riches? Matthew 6:19-20, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. It all belongs to God. Every single bit of our time, our talent, and our treasure belongs to God. It all does. Now listen, there are people in this room that it is really, really easy for you to give of your treasure. It's hard for you to give of your time. And you lie to yourself and say you have zero talent. For some of you, it's really easy for you to give of your talent and your time, but it's hard to give of your treasure. They're all intertwined together. It's not a one or another. We're called to sacrifice and give of all. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Is he Lord over everything that he's given you? It's a stewardship mindset. Has he become Lord over everything in your life? Or did he just become the forgiver of your past on the day that you received him? Romans 10:9-10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Listen, we sing this. We state it. Jesus is Lord of all. It's some worship song. We sing it all the time, but is he really? Is he really Lord of all? That means everything in your life. Or do we pick and choose? Hey, Jesus, you could have a little bit of this. You could have a little bit of this. But no. You do not have an all-access ticket. You have a general admission. You know what I'm talking about. You ever been to a sporting event? And they're like, no. You don't have field access. I've been to those events. I was at a Pitt game, and I had field access, but I didn't have field access. I had to stand in a little box, like over in the corner. And then there were people that had like field access. They could go wherever they wanted. I felt like a fool. I'm serious. There was like this little area that I was allowed to stand on the field. I was like. And then there's like the sideline part that everybody else could walk on if they had another little color on their ticket. You know. But I can't sneak. I'm a giant, right? But I got as close as I could, and then I went back over. And then we had field access at Steeler camp. But then there were people that had field access, right? And I didn't know. I thought I had field access. So I was walking. And then I walked to this corner, and the guy's like, sir, this is for the family. I was like, all right. I know where I don't belong. They had nice tents, bottles of water, and a bathroom. That's all I wanted, right? Bruce knows what I'm talking about. I found the porta john. Does God have all access? Or do you just push him to the side? You don't, no. Stay over there. Lord is a very distinctive statement. Many of us have Jesus as a help in a time of need. But Jesus is Lord over all changes everything. So I ask the question, is Jesus Lord over all of your time? Let me see your calendar. No. I'm serious. Let me see your calendar. If I look at your calendar, does it show Jesus? What do you mean, Pastor? Is connection group on your calendar, or is it just something you show up to every once in a while? I don't know what a connection group is. Get to the connection point. We'll explain it to you. Is your devotion time on your calendar, or is it something you just do if you have time? Is church on your calendar till the end of time? Or is it something you just show up to every once in a while if you have time? You know, the average church attender now shows up 2 out of every 5. We would be in trouble at the White Oak campus if everybody that says the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church is their church shows up on a Sunday. Y'all would get rocked. My seat's not here. Somebody's in my seat. You know, our candlelight worship experience isn't going to be here this year because we want the people that are on the worship team and the pastor, me, to not get the amazing opportunity to have 5 candlelight worship experiences in the 3 days leading up to Christmas. You know, we actually want to celebrate Christmas with our families. We love you all. We love your families. But we're going to have one at the Core Event Center on December 23rd. We're going to have one. If you fit in there, you fit in there, okay? Why are we doing that? Because we want to make space for you to invite as many people as you possibly can. I forget why I got on that. Matt, help me. Would you take good notes? Okay. Calendar. Calendar, thank you. Is that on your calendar, December 23rd, our candlelight worship experience? Put it on your calendar. Is he stewardship of every area of your life? We're going to jump to our text today, Matthew 25. That's where we're going to be the remainder of our time together. But before we get there, I want to talk about mindsets a little bit more. You know, Pastor Keith, our founding pastor at Bridge City Church. It wasn't Bridge City Church when he founded the church. It was Greater Pittsburgh Word and Worship Church Fellowship. Say that 5 times fast. Okay? He taught this passage in Matthew 25 over and over and over and over and over again. And as a matter of fact, when he wasn't teaching this passage came out in different teachings. It came out in connection groups. It came out in conversation. And this passage created a culture of faith. But this passage didn't just create a culture of faith within the church 40 plus years ago. This passage created a culture of faith that created generations in the church. This passage changed my family's life. And I wasn't even a part of the church. Because of the faith that this passage created over 40 years ago, my Grammy is a part of this church. my mother and father, my in-laws, are a part of this church. My brothers and sisters, in-laws, are a part of this church. My wife and I are a part of this church. My nieces and nephews are a part of this church. My son, obviously. My one day grandchildren will be a part of this church. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to get to sit in the back, not of this building, but one building that is the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm going to get to see my great-grandchildren run around a building. And I'm going to get to say, stop running. I'm serious. In Jesus' name, I'm going to get to see it. Because of this passage and the faith that it instills and it challenges. I'm believing the generations of your family are going to be changed because of the faith that you're walking in, the faith that you're encouraging your family in, the way that you're stewarding your time, your talent, your treasure. Let's read together. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Now, for our time together, we can take these talents that are being given to these men, and we can look at them as life resources, such as our time and our money, our abilities, the authority that we've been given by God. And these talents that were given to these men in this parable were worth a lot. They would have to work for a long time to earn this amount. These laborers, they would have to work for 20 years to earn this much denarii, okay? If we put it into the financial terms of their day. They just got a lot of money, okay? I want to put it into perspective for you. They were entrusted with something. Now, they were entrusted with something according to what they were given, and they were going to give an account for it. We're going to give an account for what we're being entrusted with from God. So let's keep reading here. Verse 16. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those two servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more and saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents, and here I have made you five talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had two talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made you two talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now the joy of the master, they received praise from the master. They received what else? A future blessing, a blessing for their future. That seems exciting. I like that. I like the words, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's something to live for. That's exciting. What I also see in these texts is it seems to me that Jesus does not just give a juicy juice and a bag of chips to every single person. There's not a participation award ceremony. And I'm cool with it. I'm a millennial. I was just on the cusp of participation award trophies. And I remember walking off of the baseball field because there was still like local baseball teams. You didn't have to travel around the world to play Little League Baseball. You could laugh at that, parents. It's okay. I'm sorry. The parents who would laugh at that are traveling around the world playing baseball. Sorry. There used to be great baseball played over in this field over here. But there's not just a participation award. You have to work. You have to put your hands to the plow. It's not just about I showed up. It seems like Jesus writes a performance review and you get paid accordingly. The first two, we can say because of the text that they did things. They did their work promptly. They did their work with perseverance. They did their work on purpose. They were intentional about it. They were ready to present their gifts and give an account to the master. They were excited about it. I'd be excited too. Like, look, I doubled what you gave me. You gave me this, and I did this with it. Look at that. Huh? If you have a talent that you're sitting on and you don't want anybody to know about it, not good. If you're scared because you think, I don't want to get hurt, let me help you. Bridge City 101 is happening at 12:30. We have lunch, childcare, and help you discover your gifts so that you can start to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Every single one of you has a talent that God wants to use for the kingdom. There's a vision at the church, and you're not going to be used to fulfill that vision. I promise you that that vision will be used to fulfill you. It's time for you to get G'd up. That's what I always say. Listen, you could, that's a McKee Sport thing. It's time for you to gather, grow, give, go, all for the glory of God. Get G'd up. Somebody's like, did he really just say that? I sure did. Let's keep going. Verse 24, he also had received the one talent, and he came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent of the ground. Here you have what is yours. This man had a mindset that kept him stuck. This man had a view of God, a view of his gifts, and a view of himself that kept him stuck. The third servant had a mindset that he didn't think well of the master. He didn't have a mindset that pushed him to work forward. He didn't have a mindset that helped him to even try. He didn't have a mindset that pushed him beyond the excuses that he made. Why? Fear. Fear's real. This mindset, I like to relate it to the mindset that so many of us in this room grew up in, the Mon Valley mindset. The Mon Valley mindset is real. So many of us grew up in it. I'll never have enough. I'll never measure up. I just got to work harder and try harder and keep up with the Joneses. And if I'm struggling, I can't tell anyone about it. We want to help you if you're struggling. How are we going to help you? We're going to help you get over fear. We're going to help you get over that mindset. I want to help you with something that happens every single year and it creeps up on people. Christmas is coming. Next month. You know what else is coming this month? Thanksgiving. You know what it stresses people out every single year financially? Thanksgiving and Christmas. Guess what? It's coming next year too in 2025. You know what always stresses people out in every year? I got to get my car registered. It's going to happen next year. You might need tires next year. It's going to stress you out financially. if you have a plan like the first two people in this text, you walk in joy. You walk in peace. You walk in excitement to go before the master and give an account. So you want to help you. How? Make a plan. Sit down with some people that have gone before you that can help you. How do you break this Mon Valley mindset or this thing that you're trapped in? You get with some people that have broken it. Sit down and have a meeting. Make a plan. If you don't tell your time where to go, it's going to go. If you don't tell your talent where to go, it's never going to be used. If you don't tell your money where to go, it's going to go. We want to help you make a plan. There are 60 slots available. If those slots get filled, guess what we're going to do? We're going to make more slots. We're going to make a plan for more slots. There should be way more phones up taking a picture of this QR code right now. But you know what? You're fearful of what people are going to think of you if you're the one taking a picture of the QR code. Here, I'll do it. There we go. I don't need one of the 60 slots, though. I have personal access to one of the best. I meet with him regularly. His name's Rob. I'm just serious. I'm being serious. If you get on this one, though, you'll then have personal access to, and you won't have to sign up to Matt and to Rob, to other individuals that are on this list that are helping you. Ken and Cassidy are on there. Kim, she's not in here. Sarah and John. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked, slothful servant. Uh-oh. I like good and faithful, but here we go. We got wicked and slothful. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was mine with at least interest. Listen, fear will control us. It'll hold us back. It'll keep us stuck. How do I know this? I lived in fear for a large portion of my life. And you know what fear does? It keeps you stuck. You know why fear keeps you stuck? Because it keeps you from trying. And you know what fear does? It keeps you in control. Because if you have fear, you're in control of your failure. Write that down, because it was good. And if we're living in fear, we're also not viewing God for how big he really is. Just saying. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Verse 28, 29. For to everyone who has the will for more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, I really like the whole good and faithful, not the whole wicked and slothful. I like the promise of a future blessing, not the promise of the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I like the promise of on purpose and being intentional rather than things happening on accident and just praying and hoping for the best. Stewardship keeps our heads in the game. If we make a plan and we're intentional about our life and what we're going to give an account for, keeps your head in the game. For myself personally, as a man, as a husband, as a pastor, as a dad. For you personally, make a list. What are you going to give an account for? Write it down. It becomes real when you write it down. Maybe you don't want it to become real, so you'll just let it be in here. But write it down. What are your talents that you're going to give an account for? Oh, I don't have any talents. Every single one of you is gifted. Every single one of you. Don't make me go around the room. I could sit down with you 5 minutes and tell you where you're gifted at. I'm serious, I can. When I sat across the table from Pastor Larry and Phyllis, my wife and I took my little gift assessment test. He's like, you're really gifted in leadership. You're really gifted in being a pastor, shepherd. I was like, you're crazy. That ain't ever gonna happen. This was 16, 17 years ago. He's like, it's not about what's coming out right now. It's about what's in there. And God will pull it out. I was like, well, we'll see about that. Take what's in you and let God to anoint it and see what happens. So I have a question, one last question, but I reserve the right to ask a couple more because I have the microphone. But for right now, this is the last one. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Have you made that decision? Romans 10, 9 through 10, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? First and foremost, yourself. Your past, things that were done to you, things you've done. That's first. What else? That whole place, gnashing of teeth, that place. Saved from that. Promised eternity with him. It's a good place to be saved from. What else are you saved from? Saved from a life without him. You can experience heaven on earth now. You don't have to wait for all of it in heaven. You can experience it now. You can experience peace and joy now. You can walk in it now. You don't have to fake it till you make it. That's another part of the Mon Valley spirit too, by the way. I'm just going to fake it till I make it. Just keep up with the Joneses. I'm just going to do me. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. How do you openly declare it? I ask you every single week, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I need you. I've never, ever, ever received you as Lord over my life, repented of my past, received your forgiveness, and asked you to be Lord and leader into my future. That's openly declaring. Get over the fear of what people behind you and in front of you and to the left and the right of you are going to think of you. They're not thinking about you. They want to celebrate with you. They want to see you get freed and walk in the victory of what Jesus has for you. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised this afternoon. You are promised eternity with him if you've openly declared that he's Lord. If you don't have a day, a time, a place that you've done that, don't let this moment pass. Maybe you've done it in the past, but you walked away and you want to rededicate your life to him, anyone at all today. Father God, I thank you for who you are, who we get to be. Lord, thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for every single person that is understanding what stewardship looks like. And God, may we steward our lives well. May we steward everything that you own well. May we be good managers of the blessings that you've poured out upon our lives. And Lord, I pray for everything that you've done today. May it bear fruit and fruit that lasts. In Jesus' name.